Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of every month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with a community of listeners.
Today's hosts are Colton,
Maddie,
Mitzi,
Hanani,
and we all attend Laytonville High School. Today our topic is bullying. We might define bullying as repeated and systematic harassment and attack on others. In schools, the most common forms are calling names, saying or writing nasty things, excluding others, not talking to them, threatening, making them uncomfortable or scared, talking or damaging their things, hitting or kicking, make them do things they don't want to do. This kind of bullying begins in grammar school, peaks in middle school, and is less common, but certainly prevalent in high school. Recent surveys say that 10 to 15% of children are regularly bullied.
In the cyber age, bullies can use texting and social networks like Facebook and new venues for harassment. An embarrassing photo or lewd comment can be distributed to hundreds of people in an instant. Or a threat of violence can stalk someone on their cell phone any time of the day or night. One can intimidate another with no immediate personal risk and reapply the pressure with a push of a button. And there are numerous cases of where these actions have led students and adults to break under the pressure and commit suicide.
Beyond school, bullying is common in the workplace, home, and sports. The feelings experienced by victims are painful and lasting. Bullies progress to serious and social behavior. Recent incidents of school violence show that bullying has tragic consequences for individuals, families, schools, and entire communities.
In the Laytonville School District, we had a week of educational events to shed light on bullying. It was organized by Laytonville Healthy Start, Bronco, and the schools. It included classroom presentations and a public forum in the evening for parents and the community at large. We will now listen to a collage of statements made by the presenters at the well-attended public forum in Laytonville. The speakers you will hear include Lindsay O'Neill, Sheriff Tom Allman, Jama Shields, Candy Muzio, Detective Brian Arrington, School Superintendent Joni Potter, Leba Madsen, and Roland Spence.
I think that the term bullying gets thrown around a lot, and people use it to describe all sorts of behavior, and I think that definitions can be really hard to come up with.
They told everyone I was gay.
Sorry doesn't help the pain I went through. I can never forget.
I was punched, kicked, shoved into a locker.
I'm depressed and isolated. I hate everyone at this school.
They can't do anything because bullying can't be stopped.
We had 10% of LHS students that year who at one point or another stayed home or pretended they were sick because they were afraid to go to school. And, you know, because of bullying or because of whatever, they're afraid to go to school. They don't. Harassment. Bullying or harassment is how they describe it. 57% of LMS middle school students have been pushed, shoved, slapped, hit, or kicked by someone at school who wasn't just kidding around. And that drops to 24% at the high school. So less, if vast difference there, which maybe we might expect at middle school versus high school. I mean, certainly my experiences would reflect that. 20% of Laytonville High School students have been in a physical fight at school or on school grounds or at a sports game. And 32% of high school students, 38% of middle school students have had sexual jokes, comments, or gestures made to them at school 4 or more times during the past year. So those are kind of to get you framed in on what we're dealing with.
I'm not aware of any other community in our county that's taking bullying to this level of education. This has to be where we start, and it has to be where the other school districts catch up to say this is what we need to do, and if you have questions, these are the people who call. Parents have to know who to call when their parent, where their child says, I'm afraid to walk home because I always get chased or I always get these texts from the same person. If you have questions about bullying and you don't know who to ask, please just call our dispatcher and ask to speak to a deputy. And we'll get a deputy to talk to you and say, this is serious enough to get restraining orders. I mean, that's a pretty extreme thing, but it certainly happened at the all the way down to grade school level where restraining orders are issued.
And were you ever bullied? How did it make you feel? What did you do about it? Was there someone who you felt safe talking to about being bullied? Were they an adult at your school? A parent? A friend? Did they help you? Were you ever bullied? Who did you bully? How did it make you feel?
I, for years, bullied a kid and made him feel bad. I feel terrible and I try to stop myself from bullying.
I will show her the meanness she has had me bottling up.
I made fun of 4 students and said mean things about them. No consequence.
Teenagers are all insecure. We compensate by being mean and sizing ourselves up to other teenagers.
I want to debunk the myth that if the kid's a bully, it's because they've got bad parents. That is absolutely not the case. There are very good parents who end up with kids who act up. If a child is being bullied and we don't intervene and move to support that child, they can take a victim stance and they will be a victim the rest of their lives.
My heart goes out to parents that try to constantly keep tabs on Facebook, MySpace, OrkBot, whatever, you know, all these different social networks. It's tough, you know, and law enforcement's doing our best to try to keep up with it, but it's hard. And I have a Facebook account too, and I know how you can just shoot stuff out there, you can talk about people, you can do this and that, and some people do. I mean, all of you have Facebook accounts probably, and you see the posts that people make, and you're like, oh my gosh. Why not just call the person directly and talk about it instead of putting something on a social post and letting the whole community know about what's going on and airing out people's laundry, you know? We live in kind of an impersonal world now where we can get away with stuff like that. And people behind their computer, they feel safe. And a lot of the cases that I've been involved in, a lot of real criminal harassment cases, people will do stuff. They'll send text messages from a cell phone. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this and this and this. When I talk to that person, they say, I had no intention of doing that. And I said, do you realize the psychological damage that you can do by sending a person that, even if you don't intend on doing it? So it's real tough to address, and I'm glad the state legislature has imposed a law that makes social posts a network reason to expel and suspend people. They updated the education code to include the social networking posts.
One of my main messages is if we don't know what's happening, we can't address it. And so, you know, again, really making sure if it's happening to you, you know of people that it's happening to, parents, community members, you know, talk to somebody. There, you know, we have a lot of resources, fortunately, to be able to, you know, help our kids and to address it and to try to help stop it.
Bullying and ridiculing and shaming and humiliating sometimes is a way to connect with other people and be strong with other people against an alone person. And it's a way of ganging up. If the ridiculing is done by a group of people against a person who's alone, maybe some of its purpose is for the people who are doing the shaming to feel big, to feel powerful in comparison to the person who they're targeting. And the target person is injured, hurt, outcast, isolated, while the bullying person is connected with the strength of others. And we know that it usually feels better to feel big and strong than to feel weak and hurt and vulnerable. Rather than naming the person a bully or a victim, we focus on the behavior. Bullying, shaming, being targeted, getting ridiculed, joining the crowd, hiding out in the group, speaking up, intervening. So those are all actions that anybody might do. Nobody is just a bully or just a victim or just a hero. All of us have the potential to do all these things, and we do all these things. One way to understand how people get into the position of being mean and shaming and cruel is the idea that hurt people hurt people. It's a really useful phrase, but it's not an excuse, and it doesn't wipe anything away, but it does help us kind of understand and maybe identify with what that person might be feeling that he or she is going to turn around and kind of pass it on to somebody else.
It needs to be known that it's acceptable to come forward, and so that more people can come forward. And I think that's one of the biggest issues, is getting people to come forward, because if we don't know about it, we can't address the situation.
There was a study where parents who raised their children to not just tell them what to do or how to do it, but explain to them the reasons why. And if they did something bad, not to have them apologize, but state the reasons why they're sorry and give the reasons why they did what they did. Because everybody has a reason for doing what they do, you know. And so those people were found over a long period of time to be real responsible adults and to be less apt to get into fights and physical altercations with people to try to prove a point.
Most recently, as a school district, the school board adopted in this past February of 2011 a new updated policy that includes cyberbullying as part of how we respond to bullying and harassment in the schools. And so in that policy, harassment or bullying, it's in the definition of it, it includes cyberbullying, it includes intimidation, hazing, extortion, or any other verbal, written, or physical conduct that causes or threatens to cause violence, bodily harm, or substantial disruption. So it's fairly inclusive of, you know, what is considered to be harassment or bullying. So as Lindsay was discussing, you know, there when we do the surveys of our students, you know, it definitely is happening in our schools and our communities. And, you know, though I think we do have a very family-like atmosphere in our schools, it's still happening, and it still is an issue and something that needs addressing. I wouldn't say it's pervasive, but I would say that it is happening. If it's happening to one kid, we need to address it.
You are listening to You Speaks Out on KZYX. That recording was made at the Laytonville High School Public Forum on Bullying, put on last week by Healthy Start, Bronco, and the Laytonville Unified School District. We are students at Laytonville High. I'm Colton.
Maddie.
Mitzi.
Hanani.
We are now going to discuss what we have experienced and learned about bullying, both being bullied and bullying others, and how we could possibly bring the problem into the light and take steps towards reducing it. We will talk for 20 to 30 minutes, then we will open up the phone lines for your insights and questions. We are in the Willett studio, and the phone number is 707-456-9991. We will open these phones in about 20 to 30 minutes. So, Maddie, what have you recently learned about bullying?
I've recently learned about bullycide, which is bullying-suicide put together. And I just learned about it in my English class. Lindsay O'Neill and Jama Shields came over, and they showed us a video of a girl an immigrant from Ireland who came over, and she was being bullied for dating a few guys, and she finally had enough of it, and she committed suicide. And I've recently watched a few shows on Dr. Phil and on the news about kids committing suicide, and I hadn't heard about it until recently, and it's a big thing. There's a lot of cases. I've at least heard of 7 now, and we need to do something about this, because it's not stopping, and it seems like it's growing because I keep on hearing about more and more. So
I definitely think that starting at a younger age and educating younger children about the effects of bullying would be a good way to try to prevent it, because like Maddie just said, she never really heard about like things as such as bully side until really recently, and some kids may not even realize the effects that bullying has on other students.
Yes, like people think bullying is one big thing, there's a crime, you know, they don't realize that what they're doing, the little things they're doing are called bullying, calling somebody names, you know, threatening somebody, just little things are called bullying, but I don't think people actually see that they're bullying others. They don't see the effect of what they say, what they're saying on another person.
I do think it's a bigger and growing problem in today's society, and we need to start taking the steps to reduce it somehow. Like Mitzi said, start teaching it earlier or something.
A few weeks ago, I watched a video at the middle school, and it was set up, but these two bullies that were suspended from their school for bullying, they were not forced, but I mean, they went on this show to help. I don't know if it was to help themselves or they were told to go on this show, but they had to dress up in clothes that were really out of fashion. They had to go to a new school where they didn't know anyone, and everybody at the school was told to just bully them like crazy and show them what it felt like to be on the other side. And these students didn't know that these people were told to do this, and they just went through the entire day getting really bullied, and they were harassed the entire time. And at the end of the day, they were told that this was just set up, and they realized, and they ended up thanking the people that bullied them, because it really made them realize that what they were doing earlier it's not just a joke. Like, it really hurts people.
I think we should talk about the bullying cycles. Can you read it?
Yeah. It's a cycle of bullying, and it goes from A to G. And A, it starts out with the bully, and then it goes to B, who is the follower or henchman, and it may even carry out the acts with the bully. C is a supporter, takes part in the bullying. D is a passive supporter, seems to be liking the bully, but does not take an active part in it. And E is a disengaged onlooker. F is a passive defender, dislikes the bullying, but does not show open defense. And G, the last one, is a defender, dislikes the bullying and tries to help the victim. And then at the top, there's the victim. And I think we've all played one of these parts in our childhood or adult life at some point, whether we were the bully or the defender. And I think everyone plays a part in something in their lifetime.
Yeah. Growing up, I was bullied, probably started in first or second grade, and it went till about seventh grade, and it was the same person who was bullying me, and I was really sensitive, and I would go home after school every day and cry and tell my mom everything, and it really hurt me. And also, I had a teacher that in fourth grade that wasn't really aware of what she was saying to me and didn't know that it hurt me. And that is also another thing to be aware of, is teachers bullying kids, or not bullying them, but saying words that hurt the kids and they don't realize it.
We did think it was funny to watch Maddie cry because she was so sensitive. Like, we used to get a kick out of it because you just look at her the wrong way and she just burst into tears. And it wasn't the best thing to do, but we thought it was funny at the time. But I guess we, like Hanani said, didn't know how much we were hurting her and, like, the pain we were causing her. But now we're all best friends, so it kind of worked out.
And the teacher in fourth grade, I remember this one time, I will always remember it. We were in different groups and we were reading with the teacher, and I was the next in line to read, and I was reading, and I have a bad right eye, and it's got scratched by a piece of metal when I was little, and it's blurry to look out of, and I didn't know I needed glasses yet. And I was reading pretty slow, and I wasn't the fastest reader. I still am not. But she called called me out on it, and she said, "Maddie, you're so slow at reading. Next person." And it really upset me, and I didn't even know I needed glasses yet. So, I mean, it's really tough to judge what someone's going to think, but think before you say something, because people are sensitive, and they can take something in the wrong way.
Yeah, like the teachers sometimes bully the students or humiliate them or sometimes, but what about the kids doing that to the teachers, like the substitute teachers and the teachers we don't like? We had this one sub in fourth grade or fifth grade, and we didn't like her, so we took her car keys and her house keys and everything and hid them from her, and she started to cry, and we still didn't give them back until she found them. So that just shows that, like, little kids can just pick on adults all they want. And when we came into high school, we had another teacher, but we did that to her, too.
Well, I mean, maybe in fourth grade we didn't realize how much we were affecting this teacher, but, I mean, even at that young of an age, you're starting to bully, and I think that's why it's even more important to educate at an even younger age. And because we knew that we were hurting her, but we didn't know to what extent.
Yeah.
And earlier in the clip from the public forum in Laytonville, someone said that, those who get bullied bully, or those who are hurt. Oh, I forgot what it was.
Oh, hurt people.
Yeah, hurt people. And that's, like, so true, and it's probably not the case with Maddie, but, I mean, because she learned from getting bullied that she wasn't going to do it to anybody else, and she realized that, I mean, she was smart enough to realize at a young age that she was getting bullied and she wasn't going to put someone else through that pain. But a lot of kids, they get bullied and they don't know how else to show their depression or anger, and so they take it out on, like, people who they feel are lower than them, or
to get power.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they want to feel powerful.
It's like a power struggle. They take it out on their own insecurities.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about the punishment for bullying? Like, the kids who do commit bullycide, who's responsible for their death? Silence.
Responsible for the death of... Wait, can you repeat your question?
Who do you think is responsible for the death of the bullied that do commit bullycide? Who do you think is responsible for that?
I think if they're just bullying that caused them to commit suicide, then those people who actually bullied them are responsible. They did not go and shoot them or hang them, but what they did drove them to kill themselves.
So direct causation.
It's like the story we're reading about Phoebe Prince. It was as good as them giving her
the news.
She sent a text message to one of her friends, or some of her friends, saying that it would have been easier if they had just given her the news, because their actions toward her made her kill herself. So it's as good as killing her directly.
Now, the people in Phoebe Prince's case were only charged with criminal harassment. What do you think about that? Do you agree?
I know criminal harassment would be on their record, and they have to live with what they did. But I also think there should be a different consequence, like maybe giving lectures to people on what bullying can cause, or doing community service or something that will make them to remember and also show other people that bullying is actually something serious. It's not something to play around with.
I do think we need a new and nearly tailored statute to cover bullying and the topic of it, to show how serious it is getting in today's day and age, but maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, I think the problem is you never really know where to draw the line between maybe like teasing and actual criminal bullying, if that's what it's called. We discussed this in English class, and when do you, since you can't ever look into someone's mind or something, and see how they're actually feeling. So how do you know what you're saying, like, how the other person is actually taking it? Because some people have stronger personalities. And how do you charge someone for criminal... Wait, what is it called?
Harassment?
Criminal harassment when the person who was getting bullied actually never even took it the wrong way. Like, they took it as teasing.
I think it would, if it actually got to the point of being a court case and charging someone with criminal harassment, then the person must have reported it. And the person must have agreed to take it to court. So it means the person must have taken it to... It must have gotten to a level where the person could not take it anymore and had to go to that extent.
Maddie, what do you think bullying is?
I think that bullying is either... Is one person intending to hurt another person. Either physically, verbally...
Mentally...
Well, yeah, the verbal gets to them mentally and hurts them inside. But I don't think that I think you have to mean to hurt someone for it to be bullying.
So you have to have
because intent. If you're just joking, if you're just joking around, you could be hurting them too. Because if I was like, oh my gosh, Mitzi, your hair is not soft today, and you were angry at me and it hurt you and I didn't mean for it to hurt you, that's still bullying because I didn't mean for it to be rude, but you took it.
I took it the wrong way.
So yeah. It's all how the victim perceives the...
Yes, some people... Because I was really sensitive when I was younger.
Yes.
I mean, I was very too sensitive.
Way.
And every little thing would upset me. And everyone knew, because I would cry a lot, but...
And that's why they would do it, because you would cry.
Yes, and this is not fun.
But look at you now, and look how you turned out. Is it just something that you grew out of, or...?
Well, I couldn't grow out of being... Well, I don't know, it just made me... Well, I am not a bully, because
did it make you a
that.
Stronger person
yeah,
from being bullied?
I'm stronger. If I get teased now, like, usually I just kind of let go of it or just walk away.
Do you guys witness or even experience getting bullied in high school or at our high school?
Oh, I have one. I was at the high school, and actually I was doing homework with Anani, and there was a high school volleyball game going on, and there were some middle school girls outside the high school, outside the gym, and they were talking smack to each other, just back and forth. I was watching them, and I was listening, and they were cussing at each other, and they had their little crews next to them, their posses, and I was just like, oh my gosh, okay, I gotta deal with this. So I called my principal and I said, hey, you need to get out here. There's some girls talking smack and they need to be broken up. And I didn't want to be the one to go over there because I didn't want them to know I called the principal. So I turned my back and kind of said it really quietly. But the principal came out and took all of the girls to his office and talked to him, and I felt good about it because I didn't let them get into a fight, and I broke it up indirectly, but I broke it up before it got too serious.
I don't think we have a big problem with bullying at Laytonville because we're so small. I mean, we only have 125 kids.
And also, we've all, or not all of us, but the majority of us have grown up together, and I feel it's harder to point out someone's insecurities when you really know that they're insecure about them. And but like Hanani, because you came from Nigeria, was like at your old school, did you see big problems with bullying, or did you guys grow up together too?
Yeah, I saw people being bullied all the time. I never really thought of it as bullying because I just never thought of it as bullying. It's recently I was just thinking about it and I was like, oh yeah, that's actually bullying. You know, I think in bigger schools and in different places, when it becomes normal, you don't even realize it's bullying anymore because it's something you see every day. So it doesn't seem like something is wrong with it or something is different about it. But then when you come out of that and look at what is going on, you realize how mean it is. like telling people to go and get water for you from the well, even when there's water scarcity. You expect somebody to have, to get everything you need for you, and the person doesn't even have anything. That's bullying. So
how was it when you actually came to Laytonville High? Like, were you accepted, or were you teased or made fun of in any way?
I was actually expecting to be teased and bullied and made fun of, and I was not expecting anybody to be nice to me. A lot of them were nice to me, like, hi. Some people tell me to have lunch with them. You know, I was surprised.
You never did have lunch with me.
I was surprised at how they treated me well. But sometimes I actually look at new students when they come in, and some of them were not as fortunate as I was. I just look at them and see that.
So why do you think you were more fortunate than they were? Like, what's the difference?
I really don't know. Maybe because I was coming from somewhere far away. I really do not know why I'm treated different from them. Because I see people that come in newly. Nobody knows them or anything about them, but immediately they start a rumor about them. And then everybody keeps seeing them that way. Nobody changes their opinion of them. So I don't know why I was treated differently.
In high school, I think most of us have matured a little more. And in middle school and elementary school, we're still growing up and we're still learning. And I think there's a lot more bullying in the elementary and middle school. But once we hit high school, there's less. I mean, it's still going on, but there's less because there's more people, I believe, and we think about it before we do it, and we're just like, oh my gosh, why would we do that? Like it we kind of think about it before we do it, but in middle school and elementary school, the kids aren't very mature, and they're younger, and they think it's cool to bully, and I noticed that a lot. I noticed a lot more bullying in the middle school and elementary school, and in the TV shows about bully side, the kids are usually preteens.
Yeah, but Phoebe Prince and all them were in high school.
I know. I'm not saying that it's not there. I'm just saying it's not as common.
Hanani, because you felt really accepted when you came here, have you done anything to try to make the students that you saw, the new students that you saw that weren't fitting in as well, have you like taken steps to try to include them?
Yeah, I have. I'm a TA at the office. Either first or second period. Sometimes it's first, sometimes first, second period, and I see new students when they come in, and when they're filling applications and all of that, and I just look out for them. You know, they might need to know their next class. I remember holding my schedule in my hand, and somebody was laughing at me, saying, you won't need that. You know, by tomorrow, you will not need that schedule. I was like, how am I even going to know my way around? But, you know, just something as small as showing them their way around, or having lunch with them, you know, saying hi to them in the hallway, asking them how their day is. Because I think since I was in that position, I'm able to see what is going on. Like, I remember when people were nice to me, I just never had any friends. So during PE, I used to sit in one corner. I'm too shy to play volleyball. I know Colton and Ty and some of them used to call me to play volleyball with them.
We used to try and to get to play volleyball all the time.
When they put me on the spot, I just feel I'm shy, and then I mess up. And then I know they are going to laugh at me, so I just sit in the corner.
Yeah, but
and I see people doing that, new students doing that, and I just know how they feel being in that position. People are nice to them, but they don't really have any friends. So it's...
Do you think that if you hadn't fit in as well, or if you hadn't been accepted as well when you first came here, the way you treated others now, do you think that'd be different? Or is your personality, I mean, you know how it felt, so you don't want other people to feel that way?
Yeah, I think both ways, I was treated well, so I would like other people to be able to experience the good treatment I got. But if I was not treated well, it would be the same thing, because I don't want anybody to have to go through that. So I'll try to, you know, help them. Or, you know, sometimes you don't know if somebody really wants you are around them, you know, once you're the attention you're giving them, once your help or not, but, you know, just trying to help them, showing them that you actually see that they are there. You're not looking ahead of them or looking around at other people.
So if you are being bullied, who do you go to? A teacher, the cops, the parents, who?
Me.
When I was being when I was growing up and being bullied, I went to my mom, and my mom went to the teachers, but I don't remember. And my mom also went to the bully's parents, but nothing changed. So it's really hard to tell how they're going to take action and how they're going to stop the bullying.
So what if you're being bullied for, say, something that you're ashamed of doing or something illegal that you did, and you don't want your parents to find out because you think they're mad, and you don't want to involve the cops because you'll get in trouble for it?
Colton, what have you not been telling me? No.
So then what do you do if you're embarrassed or did something illegal and doesn't want anybody to find out and you're still being bullied? Who do you go to?
I don't know. You have to either take the consequences of the bullying or take the consequences of what you did. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't handle it yourself and you really need help, then, I mean, you can't, like, you have no way out. Like,
yeah, I know there are counselors, like Mitya and I, we're peer counselors, and we know that if somebody tells us something that they're doing that is embarrassing to them, we wouldn't tell anybody except it was causing harm to them or to somebody else. So I think having somebody who you can trust. Who you can trust, who you know will not take your story around and be posting it on Facebook or sending messages to people about it or telling anybody is, if Mitzi tells me she has a problem, you know, she's doing something she's not supposed to be doing and I need to get help for her, I can probably talk to somebody else about it, the principal or Jema or somebody, without actually saying her name, except it gets really bad. So I think just having somebody you can trust is a way of taking care of that.
I think all four of us are really fortunate because we come from families that really care and will do absolutely anything to help you. And I know my parents notice even when the littlest thing's wrong. So, and we were discussing this earlier, but a lot of students aren't, or a lot of kids aren't as fortunate to have families that really absolutely care and
pay attention to when their child is hurting inside.
And it's hard to, and sometimes it's even hard to talk to family members. And I mean, more like it's probably even harder to talk to someone who's not close to you, like a teacher or a principal. Mm-hmm. So you don't have people to go to when you have problems. So you try to either keep it in or confront the bully, and sometimes you just can't stop it.
I think it does help if you know people in higher places. Like Maddie, your parents know some pretty high up people. Mitzi and I know people in the DA's office. So I think you also have that, always the knowledge of that support system behind you too, rather than just your parents.
Mm-hmm. Like Mitzi was saying, some people's parents don't back them up. They're not really interested in what is going on. Like we were saying earlier, some parents would say, take care of it. If they beat you, beat them up. You know, deal with it. It doesn't work in every case. In some cases, it actually works if you can actually beat up the person that's bullying you. But in cases where you cannot do anything, like, for me, I don't like how girls will go behind your back and say things about you and that. I prefer going to talk to the person. But like Maddie was saying, when she was being bullied, she told the person that was bullying her about it. She even wrote a letter. And the person tore the letter and put it in the trash. So in those cases, what do you do?
So we are going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth and the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about bullying. How would you define bullying? If you're a student, how often do you get picked on or disrespected by your peers? Have you ever been bullied by texting or on social networks like Facebook? Do students ever humiliate students? Do teachers ever humiliate students?
If you are older, do you remember bullying in your school years? Did it make you a stronger person? How does bullying in school evolve into the adult world? Do you think that nations bully each other? Ever been bullied at work or while putting in your volunteer hours at a nonprofit organization? Do you think our society needs to rethink our acceptance of meanness and bullying in the schools? Or are humans just born cruel and there is nothing we can do? If you have or had children in school, did they suffer from other students being cruel?
The phone number is 707-456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call and be a part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. And before I give my comment, I just want to tell you young people that I think you're fabulous.
Thank you.
This is an incredibly... I mean, I've heard your show a couple of times before. I don't know if it's the same people or not, but it's extremely thoughtful and very deep. So applause to all of you.
Thank you for listening.
I'm 64, so I'm not a young person anymore. But I've been bullied as an adult by other adults. And the one subject I'd like to bring in, which hasn't quite come out fully, is I think partly what happens when somebody wants to kill themselves, especially when they're young, but even it happened to me when I was older, is that when you get bullied like that nonstop, the problem is that you're getting isolated from the whole community. And loneliness and isolation are, in fact, in the world, that's the greatest punishment you can give somebody, putting them in solitary confinement or shunning them. So the bullying itself is actually horrible, but it's really the secondary consequence is, I think, what drives young people to actually kill themselves. And it actually brought me to that brink. I mean, I was able to get out of the situation, but...
Were you bullied as a younger child?
I don't think so. I mean, my brother and sister did. They harassed me quite a bit. So I think that counts. I mean, I ended up having a terrible relationship with them. And I ended up actually having, you know, because of them, it set me up to be bullied in the second place because I didn't really feel like I had the right to fight back because then I would be excluded even more. People wouldn't like me even more. So to me, that consequence is, you know, being kept from really integrating with your community is one of the most devastating things that can happen. And I think that's one of the reasons bullying is such a serious, serious matter.
Yeah.
So I'll get off the air and let other people get on. But
well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the conversation. It's very important.
I think bullying, you know, people think bullying might just be among me and peers. But we see, like she said, adults bullying adults, children bullying children, students bullying their teachers, teachers bullying students, and siblings bullying each other. So it just goes really, really far into...
But do you think it's okay for your sister or brother to bully you? Or is it same as a stranger or one of your peers bullying you?
Well, if you live together, it's going to be...
Emma, Maddie, we know how you and Emma do.
Well, I mean, my sister and I don't really get along all the time, and it's hard to live with someone all the time and, like, not get along, or get along all the time, so I don't know.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Maddie's mother.
Hi, Shanna.
Hello.
I just wanted to say that when Maddie was having her problems, she did not want her father and I to say anything to anyone. She didn't want us to tell the teacher. She didn't want us to talk to the parents because she didn't want to make it worse. And we wanted it to stop. So we tried. It didn't stop, but it was, she got over it, I think, with support from her good friends, thank you, and her parents. And so, but a lot of times, those kids who are being victimized don't want to tell anyone because they don't want to make it worse.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what I wanted
in, in many of the cases that I've seen on TV, a lot of the kids are being threatened to be killed or beat up if they tell anyone, and that's really scary. I want them to still tell someone because I want them to get help, but it's really scary when someone tells you, if you tell anyone what I did you, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to kill you. But what do they do about that?
They need to call somebody that they can trust. Call a helpline, call a sanctuary line, or call, you know, you guys have numbers that people can call that you can share with people. But there are a lot of places you can call. The problem is feeling like you're not going to be helped, or having asked for help prior and not having help, not having anything happen. And that's really sad, because then they feel like they have nowhere to go.
And then you feel like you can't try any other options, because if you tried one and it did not work, then who knows if the other ones actually work.
Right. It's very scary to have to step up and break through that, you know, terrifying, I'm going to kill you if you tell someone barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do it, you'll never know. It's like I always tell my kids, you know, if you don't ask, the answer is always no.
No.
You hear that a lot, guys.
Thanks, Shanna.
Okay, bye.
Bye. So there are some numbers I have in front of me that you can call if you have a child that needs help with bullying and you have suspicion of suicide. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255, which is 1-800-273-TALK. And also the Trevor Lifeline, and what did you say Trevor was?
It's for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender helpline.
Which
for
is
Confucius teens.
This is 1-866-488-7386 or 1-866-4, the number 4, U, letter U, and then Trevor, TREAVOR.
Caller, you're on the air. Caller?
Okay. We lost that call.
And also there's different types of bullying. One might be, like right in front of me, I have anti-gay bullying to be addressed. And I don't know if it's a big issue in our school, but there's definitely, people will use say things that they don't mean. So, like, people might say, oh, this is so gay. And, there are gay people out there, and it's not, like, you can't use that as a synonym for lame. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, can you
hear
us?
You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I think you guys are really brave, and I admire you so much for doing this program. So
thank you.
What I was thinking about was when Colton was talking about behaviors A through G, and towards G, you know, there's the passive defense and the active defense, and I was wondering if you guys have seen at your school maybe someone who's been bullied, and they've had someone actively defend them, and did that cause the bullying to stop? And then the bigger question is, could we somehow reduce bullying at school by teaching kids to become more active and, you know, preventing bullying by supporting someone who's being bullied and standing up for that? I mean, what's your experience that you've seen that in the schools?
Well, in our school, I mean, our school doesn't have as much, like, our bullying may not be really noticeable, but I definitely think there's been times where people have stood up for the one who's getting bullied or have had chances to but have missed them. And it's, I mean, it's hard to stand up to a bully because, and take the attention off the one who's getting bullied because you in turn get bullied.
Yeah, the attention goes to you.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's kind of your choice, and it's, a lot of people don't have the strength to stand up.
Mm-hmm. Do you think if there was, you know, more than one student, like if, you know, there's a group of kids saying, hey, we're not going to allow this bullying to happen at the school, do you think that would be enough, like, pressure to, you know, force the bully to stop bullying? If there was more of a culture where it just wasn't tolerated.
Yeah.
Yes, like what Mitzi was saying earlier, if you start while the child is young, if you say, do not put your hand in the fire, you know, the child soon learns, no, I'm not going to put my hand in that fire. And it's just like bullying. If you do something, the child might not know that what they have done is wrong, but if you tell them not to do it and give them the reasons why, they grow up learning why they should not bully others.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time, oh my gosh, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
I've seen a lot of situations at school where there's someone bullying another person and there's a lot of people around laughing, and I've plenty of times I've told the bully to not say it because it hurts the other person, and they just laugh at me, and then I'm like, well, you're not, that hurts the other person, don't say that. And they just say, oh, haha, it's funny. Ugh. But it hurts. But then it hurts me because I'm trying to help the other person, and then I get laughed at because I didn't do anything bad, but I'm trying to help them, but I'm the one laughed at.
Have you seen, what is that word? Experience bullying?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
No.
What about as a sub? Have you experienced in high school?
When I was in high school?
Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. Although, right next to, like, the person who had a locker right next to mine was this kid who was very unpopular. And I felt sorry for him, and I was always making an effort to talk to him and was really nice to him. And actually, it made me feel really good, and I enjoyed talking to him, and, you know, I think I was one of the very few people at school who was nice to him. But, you know, I don't think I was ever actively standing up to a bully. Mm. I've been in situations where I've seen people, you know, being mean and bullying. In fact, you know, just in a story yesterday where I felt like this woman was kind of abusing or being a bully to her husband, saying, you know, you're so disgusting. This was like at a store. And I really wanted to say something like, why are you talking so mean to someone? You know, but it is hard. It's hard to stand up and to know what to say. So anyway, I think it's a really important topic, and it's great that you guys are on the radio. And again, I admire your bravery and your willingness to do this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I just wish we could all be nice to each other.
Caller, you're on air.
I really liked what that last lady said when she was talking about how she didn't necessarily stand up to the bullies, but she befriended the person getting bullied. And I guess if you don't feel enough courage, or you don't have at least a couple of you together to try and stop it, and I do, I think it's really important to have more than one person if you're going to stand up to somebody like that.
Yeah. What I was going to say earlier was, there's not really any punishment, I think, that can prevent all bullying, and even prevent, like, one specific person from stopping bullying forever. But I think that, like, what's more effective is getting getting a group of people to stand up for the one who's getting bullied and show the bullier that the one they're bullying isn't by themselves. And it's harder to bully someone when they have a lot of friends or mm-hmm. when they're popular and because they feel that everybody's going to turn on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at...
You guys were talking earlier about when people that had been bullied were talking about, you know, their motivation. I was thinking, too, you know, and see, this might... I don't know if this is something that other kids could do or an adult would be, and that's kind of was going to be my next question or comment. But anyway, to actually engage the bully, the primo bully, the top bully, into some other area of, I guess, just success and control. It seems like to me is what the motivation is, some kind of success and control, because they are feeling like they don't have enough success and control in their lives. Anyway, and so my question was going to be, what do you guys think about, you know, what could adults, whether it's parents or school employees or older siblings or community members or whatever. Anyway, I'd love to hear you guys talk about, you know, like asking for what you think would be helpful from adults in the community. And I'll take that off the phone.
Okay, thank you, caller.
Uh-huh.
Public forum that our community had was a really good idea to inform parents and community members and students about
and the faculty of schools.
Yeah, about like the effects of bullying. Even though I mean, we all know that it happens and we all know that it hurts. But I think seeing these videos and seeing it actually happen is really effective. And I think that it all helps to prevent it.
The kids also need to watch these videos and some of the kids just, they don't change, and it's really hard to get it in their head that they need, that it is hurting someone. And that's the tough thing to change the bully.
Mm-hmm. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Jayma, you guys.
Hey, Jayma.
Hi, Jayma.
I want to thank you guys for taking the time out of your lives and continuing on the topic of bullying awareness throughout the community. So just personally wanted to call and thank you guys for being such outstanding leaders in our school and community. And just to mention that you guys are, most of you are peer counselors, and just how model that is to our program. So thank you.
Well, you deserve a big thank you too, Jayma, for all you do.
Thank you. And I just wanted to say that in the Laytonville schools, we're really trying to address this issue through a variety of ways, but especially through our Bronco program. We've implemented curriculums in the elementary school, and one of them is called Life Skills. And I think the important thing in that curriculum, it teaches kids to stop, think, and then go. And I think it's something that we can all just use in our own lives, adults, kids, teens, whoever. And especially in the world of cyberspace and texting, if we would just stop and think before we post something, we could just save so many people's feelings from being hurt. So
mm-hmm.
I agree.
I just wanted to throw that out there and thank you guys again, and I'll keep listening off the air. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, that's all we have for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Colton.
Mitzi. I mean, Maddie. I was reading the paper.
Mitzi.
Maddie.
Hanani.
Thanks to all our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in our dialogue, so your callers are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from the Willett studio. Willett's You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools and Healthy Students Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at psanborn@mcoe.us. You Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162 Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youspeaksout.net. There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programs and streaming radio. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. Youth Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each. Today was an exception. So our next show will be in 3 weeks on February 5th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in February.